Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Today's show is brought to you by Melatonin, because I'm exhausted. Not a sponsor. I'm just done. Howdy there, folks, and welcome in to Forte Catholic. My name's Taylor Schroll, and I'm sitting here in Central Texas just having a grand old time. My co-host is one of them northerners, Mr. John Blevins. How you doing today, boy?
My name is Jan Jansen. I come from Wisconsin. I work in the lumber yard there, you know?
Oh, yeah?
That was the best north I could do.
What's up, Johnny? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. I really am doing very well. You know why I'm doing well is because you are a very busy man this week. There's a lot going on at your parish, and I gave you 48 hours, and you gave me the 1.5 that I asked for, but you were like, hey, let's do this at 8:30, and I was like, ugh, and then you were like, never mind, let's do it at 9:30, and then just chill for 30 minutes before we record. I love you, John Blevins.
Hey, I love you too. It's better than the one time I asked you to do it at 6 in the morning. Or at 11 p.m.
Yeah, 11 p.m. is much more feasible than 6 a.m., but I have kids that sleep, and I don't know if you've heard me at all before, but I'm quite loud, so me talking at 11, me doing the show at 11 o'clock is not too feasible.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I got to tell you, bro, it's good to see you, too, and I just want to hang out in person with you, man. I think we're going to have a lot of fun whenever that happens. It was like, what, 5 minutes last time?
So I have news for you. I might be traveling your way very soon, and I was going to talk to you about it in the break, and I still will. But you can continue your excitement for seeing me in person, because it might be happening sooner than you think. I might
my way like Illinois, Chicago, or my way like Minnesota. We'll meet halfway.
Your way, like I'm going to come to your house, and you're going to let me crash in a guest room or something.
Can't wait! I'm sitting in it right now.
Okay, I'll be there in like 2.5 weeks. I'm not even kidding. We'll work out the details later.
Can't wait.
So, as kind as I am, that was a joke.
I think you're kind.
So here's the thing. I actually did want to talk to you about this, and some people commented on whether or not I am kind and good and true and beautiful, and we'll get to that. But there is this thing, particularly with you, and there's a few other people in my life that this is true. I could count. You are a famous Catholic Twitch streamer. Everyone loves you at Bearded Blevins. You are the most famous child in your household. Like you are just on top of the world, and people love your stream, and I love your stream, and I hop into your stream, and you and I, like I make fun of people that I love. I'm sarcastic with people that I love. I joke with people I love. I make fun of people that I love. And very often I will hop in your chat and you're playing and you're very kind and you'll interact with people who are chatting, especially me, because I'm your favorite. And I'll come in and I'll say something snarky that I know that you will understand. So here's the thing, John. You laugh and my friends laugh when I say things to, like when I say things to you, you laugh and people that know us will laugh. People that do not know who I am at all, because I'm not popular or famous, look at me in your chat and look at me and my interactions with you, and they're like, that guy's a jerk.
Yes.
So I don't know what to do, John, because this is how I interact with people that I love. But when it happens in a public forum, people hate me. And I don't know if I should change what I'm doing or if I should just not care what those other people think. I'm conflicted.
I think you should not care. And here's why. You're a busy guy. You have a family. You work hard. You have a lot going on. So it's an honor anytime you're able to stop by the stream, show support, show some love, and interact in the chat. If you're going to do it like that, though, and you're not going to spend lots of time in the chat, no one's really going to get to know who you are. And so that's the solution. The solution is watch me more.
Yeah.
You're busy. So like, don't come in when you can. I get it. It's funny. If you get blocked, I'll try to unblock you.
I've been blocked a couple of times in your
chat. You're VIP. So like, people should know just by that. So maybe I need to talk to my mods, but just from that, they should know like, hey, VIPs don't get blocked unless they stream snipe me.
So
this happened recently,
which I'm planning on doing, by the way. I am a console gamer, but I've been thinking about buying a PC just to stream snipe you, because I think that would be one of my great achievements in life.
It would be really fun. It would be hilarious. I would welcome it. If you you'd have to get in my game, find me, and then kill me. You're like, I know, John. I know how it works.
But here's the thing, John. I just wouldn't tell you that I was trying to stream snipe you, and you would kill me like 14 times, but then that 15th time, you wouldn't have to know that you killed me 14 times before. I would just clip the 15th one, and it'd be great.
I love it. So you would be anonymous and no one would know. That's great. That's brilliant. Yeah. But no, be who you are. Be who you are. So I don't get offended.
Well, good. And that's the thing, is like, that's one of the interesting things about like public forums. So like, there are public forums that like, quote unquote, I can control the conversation, right? Like that, like you and I were having a conversation, even though there are two people in the conversation. So I'm not like in charge of it. Like if you say so, if I say something and you misunderstand it, we can have a conversation about it. Or if I say something and you respond and I'm like, oh no, he didn't understand what I meant. And I can like kind of restate it, right? Like that's how conversations go. That's not how it works in text form. So in your chat, or like it's happened on social media too, like Father Anthony and I will be going back and forth, and that's all like our entire conversation, our entire like friendship is joking with each other. And then somebody will come in the conversation and be like, how dare you talk to a priest like that? It's like, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Like, you're like, we're friends.
And like, here's the thing. It's not just like priest says something, Taylor says something, troll says something. It's like, we just had like a 14 comment text thread where we're all laughing and I'm doing the crying cat emoji, the crying laughing emoji. It's like, how do you not see that this is friendship? Go away.
You just gotta, you know, shake the dust and move on to another town at those people, I think.
Well, here's the thing, John. That's very difficult because I haven't worn shoes in months.
Dude, I saw these things today on TikTok. I know, Chinese spy thing. It's fine. And I almost put my feet on here. That's against terms of service, I think, for videos. It's like a layer. It's like a thin black layer with like bumps that you can, so that you don't get hurt on your feet, and you just put it on the bottom of your feet and you can just walk anywhere barefoot.
That's called a shoe.
No. It's incredible. I'll show you. I'll send you a picture. I'm buying them. I'm going to walk. I'm going to try going in a store and be like, put your shoes on and lift up my feet and be like, look.
Okay. I have a very deep theological question for you, and it regards feet and walking and sandals. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
If Jesus walked on water on a river, would he stay in one place or would he float down the river? Like, would he go with the current of the water?
Oh my gosh. I would have to say, I think he has the ability to do whatever he wants.
But exactly.
But I think you would have to try extra hard. He'd have to be on X Games mode, as they say, in order to make sure he's standing still on the flowing river.
Here's my thought. I think you're right. I think the major theology here is exactly what you said. It's literally the words that I was thinking. Jesus could do whatever he would because he is Jesus. But there is a human side to Jesus too. And I think that if Jesus was walking on water, he could stay still if he didn't skip leg day the day before. I think you need a little bit of leg strength if you're going to stay still on a moving river while you're walking on water. How's that?
Yeah, I agree.
100%. I agree wholeheartedly.
Is this weird that I have to tell you real quick? Like, I thought about Jesus since you brought up Jesus.
Oh, wait. We're talking about Jesus this early in the show?
I know. You brought it up. What if... Like, do you just ever wonder or kind of hope that, like, after he rose, but before he went to heaven, that he maybe snuck into Pontius Pilate's, like, room at night and was just like, hi.
Yeah, exactly.
And then left. Like, that's unrecorded, but I'm pretty sure it happened. And I don't think it's vindictive. I think it's just kind of funny. So I hope it happened.
So here's what I envision that all the time because, yes, we are both clinically insane. Have you ever seen the meme of there's like the old – it's a pretty famous line in Old English. Jesus supped with his disciples, meaning
Jesus,
like
what?
Jesus supped, S-U-P-P-E-D,
okay,
which,
no.
which means like had dinner. Like
yeah.
If I'm recalling right, it's the old English, like the King James type style of Bible, where it's like the Last Supper. So it's this serious thing. Jesus supped with his disciples. I saw a meme the other day, and it was that verse, and it's just Jesus standing with his disciples, and they're all like, sup.
So I love it.
So I think in Acts chapter 24, the one that doesn't exist,
yeah.
You know, Jesus shows up to Pilate and he's like, sup. Jesus sup. Supped with his murderers.
I love it.
All right. Well, welcome into Forte Catholic. Did I say my name? I'm Taylor Schroll. I don't know if I said my name, if it wasn't obvious by now, because
Say my name.
Please continue.
When no one is around you, say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Sorry.
You know what city they're from?
Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Houston.
Yes. You didn't know, but you knew why I was asking. You're smart enough to figure it out. When I lack in knowledge, I make up for in wisdom. And that brings us into a couple of things. One, we have a big thing to celebrate here, Jonathan. Magic Blevins. What is your middle name?
Charles.
See, like, you seem like a guy who would have the middle name John, but your first name's Jonathan, so it doesn't work.
John
Blevins.
Yeah, Jonathan Charles. It's my grandfather's middle name, my dad's first name, my middle name, and my son Caleb's middle name.
So here's the thing. Can I offer a rebuttal?
Yeah, I mean, you can't offer a rebuttal because that's the truth. Those are our names.
Well, in a court of law, if somebody says something true, the other lawyer is still going to offer a rebuttal, John. That's how our justice system works, or doesn't. Jonathan Charles sounds like a person from 400 years ago.
Thank you.
But then you add Blevins. And that, like, I guess it's because, like, you're hip and cool and so are both of your brothers. Like, the Blevins name just sounds so cool that it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit to me. Like, I feel like you need to be, like, Jonathan Zoom Blevins or, like, Jonathan Leandro Blevins. Like, it needs to have a little bit more flavor. Like, Charles sounds like an old king because he was.
Yeah, he was. And I love it. It's classy, you know?
Yeah, but when I think, I'm not saying that the Blevins family isn't classy. Like, your mom seems very nice. I like
it. Yeah, sometimes I taste wine at restaurants and return it because it's corked.
Here's the thing, John. I know you well enough to know that you tried the wine, didn't like it, took some cork out of your pocket and put it in so that you could get another glass but not have to pay for it.
Okay, that's closer to the truth. But the actual truth is my mom sometimes does that and I've never returned wine because it all is good.
Right. Why would you return alcohol? Come on.
It's the first thing I think of when someone says classy is I make fun of my mom. She's adorable. Thanks. Well, love you, mom.
Love you. Love you. Love you. Two of my favorite people to follow on social media are your mom and Father Anthony's mom. Like, they're awesome. So kind. They're so kind to you two. And then I think you're very nice to your mom. I think I might be nicer to Father Anthony's mom than Father Anthony is nice to his mom online. He's very nice to him in person.
100% agree.
But yeah. We have some cool news, Jonathan.
Share it.
This past week, we hit 100 downloads. No, that's not right. 100,000 downloads this past week, Jonathan. And I was telling you this earlier, and you have some news. I think you had something to do with this.
I don't want to take too much credit since I'm. Does it count individual episode downloads?
Yes. That is how
so
you
then
would count
I do
things.
Have more to do with it than just one because I have been listening to the podcast weekly for like 2 months.
Wow, I'm so proud of you and honestly shocked. I was just talking last week about how none of my co-hosts, except for Father Anthony, listened to the show because he's the only person that listened before he was a co-host. So it was already like part of his routine. And you told me you heard that. And I'm like, wait, what? You listened?
Yeah. I'm trying. Listen, dude, you know that I love you like a brother. We just get closer as the days go on. And I want to support you. And so I was like, I need to start listening to this. And I figured it would give me some more insights when we record our episodes. And you're actually kind of funny. So I'm enjoying it. And it's the only podcast I listen to.
You hadn't right noticed now. That in any of our interactions.
I mean, I did, but I just assumed it was like just us, you know, our combination of excellence.
Oh,
together.
So you thought it was you?
No, us. We have a great rapport. I have a cord stuck in my toe.
Send it back.
Seriously, and it's just you do a great job. You do a great job, and it's actually been fun to just remember where we were when I started here with you. And then just to see where you are now, you're just killing it, dude.
No, like it's so interesting thinking back to. I was actually like looking back, I was like, oh, I've had co-hosts for like around a year now. It's closer to 2 years than it is to one.
Oh wow,
it's more than a year and a half that like we've had this crew of co-hosts, and like Alice and I had a relationship before the show. Father Anthony, I had a relationship before the show. You and I and Liv and I both had like some interaction, but not a ton. So like it is real, especially with you, but just because you're far away, like Liv would come in person and we like got to hang out. Like you said earlier, we've literally met for 5 minutes in person. And we're changing that in 2.5 weeks whenever I show up at your house, hopefully announced. But yeah, like we really have grown as friends, and you even were so nice, and you gave me such a compliment on your stream the other day that your compliment was, I almost left you a few months ago, but I stayed. It's like, thanks.
That is not how I said it. What I said was, life has been crazy and busy. What is something I can cut that takes up time that I don't know if I'm contributing enough to? And that was it. However, I love doing the show with you. We've become good friends. That's a way better compliment than what you said.
Sure. Well, I might be wary on taking compliments here recently. I did a talk for an online men's conference here recently, and okay. I was only seeing comments like on the YouTube video of the conference. But then there's this other platform like where the conference was actually held that apparently that's where people were commenting. I was like, okay, I guess no one watched this and didn't care. But on the other platform, like a few hundred people watched the talk. And I was like, okay, cool. And they were leaving comments, and there were maybe like 15. And okay. 14 of them were just great. Just people being super supportive. I love it. Keep being supportive, especially of things that you like during COVID, people you like, people you love, because it's hard. Like it did mean a lot to read for. I got down to the 15th one. I'm not even kidding. It was the last one. Here's what it said. There was more at the top. They were being very kind. Here's the last sentence of this comment. What you might lack in theological training is more than made up for by your insights and zeal. And I posted this on social media, and I've been having trouble with it. And even people's reactions have been different, because some people see it as a compliment. Some people see it as a huge diss, and I oscillate between the two.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. The first time I read it, I was like, I could see how that would be offensive, for sure. And then the second time I read it, I was like, well, they're being super, like, nice. Like, to say, like, honestly, that might be something that you would leave on a comment to St. Paul. Well, a pretty great compliment.
I had a comment on St. Paul this week, too, that we don't have time to get into, but that's a whole other
great
thing.
But seriously, like, that literally might be something that someone said to any of the apostles and to St. Paul.
Oh, okay. It nullifies the degree that I have in religious studies and the year of training that I had in grad school. So here's the thing. Like, a lot of the other people at this conference are, like, have masters in theology. Not all of them, but some do. Does the year that I didn't take in grad school mean that I'm not well theologically trained? Like that year must mean a lot to this guy.
Yeah. Here's a hot take. I have a master's, and I learned more from arguing with my teachers in my master's courses than I did from my master's courses. So
that was
my go ahead and say it doesn't mean as much as people give it credit for.
I agree, which is why I left. I put my money and my location and my family where my heart is.
Boom.
But so some people were like, well, you do have insights and zeal. That's very kind. But I was like, well, I'm still paying the loans for my theological training, so it hurt a little bit.
Dude, don't let it sink too much into your head, bro. I'm gonna laugh so hard. I'm gonna watch your next talk, and you're gonna be like, you know, the Greek word for blah, 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 blah is this, and
oh,
what it
John,
means is
John. You just made my new YouTube video. I'm gonna make a parody talk for this guy.
Do it. And with no insights and no zeal.
Like everyone else.
Yes, there you go.
Oh boy. Okay, here is the good review. Sarah Huber's one of the best viewers of the show. She's been listening to the show for a lot longer than 2 months, I must say. Wow. And here's what she said. She was watching the show on YouTube.
Wait, she was watching the men's conference?
No. She was watching the Forte Catholic podcast.
Oh, okay.
She was watching the Forte Catholic podcast with a small baby that is within her family, a nephew, a niece, something like that. It's a baby. I don't know. They all look the same. Baby was not sure about me. Baby, you know, very small baby sitting there. Like, I'm quite loud. Not sure about me. The baby likes ladies more. But here's the thing. So it's another like, okay, but like, I'm not offended by this. A baby doesn't like me. I'm very loud and many zeals coming out of my mouth.
And babies are notoriously judgmental.
Yeah, jerks. But Sarah also listens to Clerically Speaking, and the baby likes me more than the baby likes Clerically Speaking. So I love it. I win.
You win. I would hold that over their heads for at least another year or three.
Oh, I'm going to have it tattooed on my arm. So even when I start forgetting things, it's always going to be there. Listen here, Father Anthony. One time a baby liked me more than you.
And then he's going to be like, and then I married that baby with her husband. So I win. And
I was about to say,
like,
he can't marry that baby. Don't you put that on him. All right. Well, that's our first segment. I will be right back. John, you're going to come back in the final segment. We're going to talk about mental health with a friend of mine who's a professional counselor. So do not go anywhere. Then John and I will come back, and we are continuing the Chicken Soup for the Charole segment. Don't go anywhere. John, what are you drinking there?
Water.
Oh, I have water, too. We're recording much earlier than we usually do, so we're drinking better things.
H2O, you could say.
I just had deja vu for the first time in a long time. I've seen you lean into the camera and say H2O before. I know I have. It was brilliant. But anyway, this is how we're segueing it, because you said in today's show that you started listening to this podcast after many years. And
yeah.
There's a new podcast that is in the Forte Catholic Podcast Network that I'm helping produce with our co-host and friend, Elizabeth. Olivia Eugene Harrison. Talk to Me with Liv Harrison is a new podcast that is out now. If John, after all these years, can start listening to Forte Catholic, you guys who are listening to this show already because you're good people, just go on over in your podcast app, go subscribe to Talk to Me with Liv Harrison, and we will both love you more. And by us both, I mean me and Liv, because I can't speak for John because he's here.
But I will too.
Amen. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll, and we have the first person in the studio. And I mean first person in the studio because no one considers me as a human person. First person in the studio since the quarantine, my new neighbor, Kelsey Johnson. And in my phone, you are still Kelsey Ricketson. So you married my friend, Joshua, and you are now a Johnson. And you have moved back to Bryan, and you've been doing counseling for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And people know that I need it. So this is my first counseling session. Welcome in to my first counseling session. I'm excited you're here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, so you started Abide Counseling right here in the Brazos County area. I couldn't think of the word Bryan. That's how today is going. That's the city that I live in. But essentially, you are here. I was bringing this up to some people, like, you know, some of the co-hosts and some of the other people that I've been hanging out with. Hey, this is who's coming on the show this week. And they're like, oh, Taylor, you've never been to counseling. And I'm like, I'm aware. I'm aware that I've never been to counseling. And I don't know why, but I think there's some fear around it. So why should I go to counseling?
The age old question. Why should I go to counseling? So one of my personal favorite quotes about counseling is along the lines of, not everyone needs counseling, but everyone can benefit from counseling. So let's just talk about the counseling process a little bit to demystify it. Because one of the most common comments I get from people is asking, am I going to come and lay down on your couch and share all my life story? And the answer is no, not unless you truly want to lay down on the couch. I will let you lay on the couch. But yeah, counseling is, you know, it's coming and talking for an hour about yourself, however often you want to come.
Boy, I do that every week on the radio.
Yeah.
I don't want an audience, I don't think, for my counseling sessions, though.
Yeah. So counseling is about really learning yourself, learning tools and coping strategies to deal with things that are going on. But what I've really realized in these past years as a counselor is that it's such a luxury to be able to just come and talk about yourself, because every conversation that you have, you know, it's always half about you, unless you're, you know, just you and you want to talk about yourself all the time.
60-40, let's be real. Yeah. On a good day. I've gotten better, but here I am talking about myself and saying how good I am, which is, I don't think, what I'd be doing when I went to counseling. Because everyone that has listened to the show knows that there are some things wrong. And I think the biggest thing that has kept me from going to counseling is, I've never been, so I can't. It's not something that I knock, and I think it's great. And like Father Anthony has talked about how great it is. I think, and people in my family have gone. I just haven't. I think one of the big things is that for many, many years, until just a few years ago, I grew up like, you have to be the man. You don't feel feelings. You don't do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And then over the last few years, I've started to open that up, like in the spiritual life, like right. in retreat ministry or like spiritual direction or like mentorship with other people that are holier than me, which isn't hard to find. but like, as I've gone through this process over the last few years of kind of opening up and like going through some of the things, it's like, why am I the way that I am?
Right.
Which is another age-old question. Like, a lot of times it brings up hard memories and yeah. memories that I don't think about. So then it's like I open up and then I start to feel all these things and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just close back down. Right.
Yeah. 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 That's so common. And also, I just want to mention that, you know, a lot of people go to spiritual direction. A lot of people have these these great experiences like that. And for some people, that is enough for them. But for others, they start to uncover these things like you're talking about and get to this deeper place. And it really becomes this different level of expertise that's needed and this deeper healing that is available through counseling. And so what you're talking about is common. It's in our paperwork of counseling. It tells you that things are going to get...
They warned you about me.
Yeah, it says things are going to get harder before they're going to get better. It says you're probably going to experience some, maybe even, worsening of the symptoms that you're already having. It's going to hurt. It's going to... You're maybe depressed a little bit more, things like that. And why that is, it's about trauma. You know, that's kind of a big word. And we think of, you know, car wrecks, people getting shot and all kinds of things like that. But trauma is pain. It can be, someone calling you a name in the eighth grade that, you know, affects you for the rest of your life, or
darn you, Joey.
Most commonly, you know, the things that, the wounds that come from our parents. You know, we are all raised by people that are imperfect. And so there's going to be some wounds along the way. And that causes these wounds and these pains in us that truly become a trauma. They give us a trauma response. And so, like you're saying, when you encounter that thing, it is painful. And an analogy I like to use a lot with clients is talking about, you know, when you break your arm, it hurts, obviously, if you've ever experienced that before. But the healing begins the second you break it. Because once it's broken, your body starts working to put it back together, even though it hurts like heck and it's broken. And then, you know, the doctor might have to come put a splint in it and it's going to hurt some more and all those things. But in that pain, that is healing. You hear the word healing and you think of, you know, the goodness that comes after and the light feelings and all of that. But the healing is in that pain. You know, Jesus teaches us that on the cross. The healing was in the death, not just on Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's powerful. I mean, I can tell that you are a Catholic and a counselor because you just tied those two things together very well. So well that it made me forget what I was going to say.
Well, I'll add something right here, too.
See, I'm always terrified when I talk to, like, psychologists or counselors because it's like, oh, you forgot that because of something your dad said. You're just analyzing me.
Yeah, it's funny. As a counselor, too, I find that, you know, people ask me sometimes, is it hard in friendships to kind of like turn the counseling off or whatever? And I think that's the hardest thing is people are so scared I'm going to analyze them all the time. And I'm not, I promise.
Well, just like most things, I just don't think about it and then I don't have to deal with it.
There you go.
Okay. Speaking of that, right? And so like the first session. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going into my first session and I'm me. I feel the way that I feel. It's like, I know that this is good, but I'm kind of scared of it. And it's just an unknown, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's not like, I'm not like terrified, right? But it's like, there's some unknown there. I don't know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. You're not letting me sit on your sofa. I'm very confused about the whole thing now. So like, what is that first session or that first, like, you know, group of sessions? You know, mm-hmm. more than I do.
Yeah.
Like help me to kind of get through that so I could be mm-hmm. like, okay, maybe.
Yeah. So the process is actually going to begin even before you come to the counseling office, because obviously you have to set up your appointment and all that. So the way that my practice works and a lot of practices work, you're going to get some paperwork beforehand. So you'll already have gone through some pretty personal questions, just asking about, you know, kind of like you would at the doctor, different medical history, things like that. And then some like past experience, what's your relationship like with your parents and, you know, things like that. How's your marriage? So you'll already kind of have been thinking a little bit about these other factors. And the reason why we do that is because similar to like going to the doctor, like if you go in and your arm's hurting, the doctor also wants to know like, hey, you know, what have you been doing? Different things. Do you have cancer? Things like that. Because we're not just, you don't want to just fix an arm if there's other problems going on.
Oh yeah.
So we want to get that whole picture. So that's really what is what that first session is about. And even as a counselor, I have a hard time not just I have a hard time stopping myself from just going into the problem that you right. want, because I want to help you fix it as much as you want to fix it. But that first session is really about getting a whole the whole picture of you, what's going on, all the context. So there'll be a lot of those kind of demographic, background information, just lots of different questions. A lot of logistical things telling you about, you know, there's a whole thing we have to go through with confidentiality and informed consent, let you know what you're getting into, that kind of thing. So the first session is honestly
good in the first session.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it's just like, hey, are you sure?
For sure. Yeah. So it can be a little boring, but I try to include, at least in that last half of the session, you know, getting your story out, you at least starting to uncover what is truly going on. What do you see as a problem and where do you want to go? A question I like to ask is, how do you know when counseling is done? What would that look like? What would that feel like for you? So we already have an idea of your goals and where you're going and things like that. Because as a counselor, I don't want you to be in counseling forever. We want it to get going, to get you in the process. Some people do go to counseling for years and that's what they need, and then nothing wrong with that. But for a lot of people, it can be, you know, a couple months. I would say like 3 to 6 months is an average counseling spiel.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think I always assumed the opposite. I think because I have from some things with doctors, and mm-hmm. I guess the most similar thing where it's like, we want you to be here forever.
Right.
So we're not actually going to heal you. We're going to heal you enough where you don't hate us. But after about a year, it's like, I'm not getting better.
Right.
I'm just kind of, you know, mm-hmm. So it's really good to hear that is the average and that is the goal. And I think, again, coming from a Catholic perspective, it's like, we want to heal you. We don't want to just lie in our pockets, because otherwise
right. You
wouldn't be Catholic. And I definitely wouldn't be doing this. But we both enjoy what we do. So the thing, we're going to go back to the thing that you said earlier at the beginning, close to the beginning, where you were like, not everyone needs it, but everyone would benefit mm-hmm. from it, right? And here we find ourselves in a very interesting time in history, at least time in our own history,
right?
So two things kind of from that. It's like, I think one of the things that I realized, I'm a workaholic, I'm always going, and it kind of helps the like not thinking about the deeper things. Mm-hmm. And then the world fell apart, and so did I, right? Because like, I shut down, I slowed down, and I started feeling like I've never even felt signs or symptoms of depression until 3 months ago, because my whole life I've just been going and I didn't really have time to feel feelings. Right. And then I was just stuck. And like, I mean, it was a hard time. There was, you know, trauma, like things happening, changing jobs, losing money, unknown, all those things happened. And I found myself like, I think for a month, like I felt, I don't know. Was I depressed for a month? Was I feeling signs, symptoms of depression? I have no idea, because this mm-hmm. was all new to me. So I think the two things are, especially in a time like now, try to convince the people that maybe don't need it, but would benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what are some of the things that I can be doing? Some of the things that people can be doing to kind of help themselves as they move along the process and think about, okay, I want to do some counseling.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing I like to dispel a lot too is when we talk about depression, there's the diagnosable term of depression. There's a whole bunch of stipulations, all the things that, you know, have you been feeling down for 2 weeks and all these different things that help define what depression is. But we can also just be talking about the feeling of depression. Like, I feel depressed. So one thing that I love about the kind of work that I do is that I don't have to put this diagnosis on people. I don't have to fit you into this label of depression or anxiety or whatever that a lot of people do in our field. But the fact that you're experiencing symptoms of depression means that you could benefit from the treatment for depression.
Oh, okay.
Whether you've been feeling depressed for, you know, 2 weeks or 6 years, there's things that you can do and things that trained professionals can help you to do, not only do, but just to figure out in order to relieve those feelings. Because, you know, just we're talking about doctors, it's everything's very relatable in terms of, you know, medical metaphors here. But, you know, if you're feeling pain, pain is your body's way of telling you something is going on. And same with depression, same with anxiety, panic attacks, things like that. That means that there's something going on that your body wants you to know about. It doesn't mean necessarily that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that there's something that can be uncovered. There's something that your body is trying to point out to you and say, hey, what's going on? Like you were saying, like walking into your first counseling session. Yeah, you're not maybe terrified, but you're a little anxious. You're a little, you know, tense, on edge, because your mind is telling you, hey, there's a new thing going on. we need to prepare for this. We need to think about this. That's not a bad thing. But when we go through these things, these seasons of depression or different feelings, whatever going on, we can all benefit from looking at things that are deeper there. Cause sometimes it can just be like, yeah, I'm switching jobs and that's really stressful. And how do I deal with that? And so there's things you can do to deal with stress, or it could be, something deeper sitting there too. Like, you know, when I was younger, my parents, you know, work job to job, and there's this real trauma there of not getting to eat dinner and things like that, you know?
Oh, I've never missed a meal. Look at me.
But whenever these things come up, there's, you know, I think of it like a tree. There's the leaves, which is really the symptoms of the problem, the feelings of depression, the panic attacks, and like can be bodily pains, things like that. And then there's the roots of the tree. And if we don't address those roots, the symptoms are always going to come back.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Leaves are bad. And here's Kelsey's thing. Yeah, he uses comedy to deflect. Yeah, I know. I'm aware of this. I do it, so I'm aware. What's the last thing we're going to talk about?
Some tips for quarantine, if you will.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Tips for quarantine. That was the final thing. Go for it.
Yeah. So I'm sure we've all just loved all the self-care tips and advice we've seen all over Facebook and Instagram and all the things. So I will not use the word self-care. But there are, a few things I've been thinking about in terms of this really interesting time that we're living in. So the first tip, you know, the free counseling, if you will, that I would give and to share, would really be to be honest about your feelings. And if you are, in the category of Taylor and don't know what a feeling is or how to feel those feelings, what I always recommend first is to do a daily check-in with yourself. Kind of, you know, in Catholic world, we like our examination of conscience, very similar to that, just kind of running through your day. But instead of looking for all the ways that you failed, looking for what was I feeling? What was going on? And it doesn't have to be just the negative things, but, you know, like, okay, when I woke up, what was I feeling? Was I excited for something? Or was I, you know, like most of us, not wanting to get up and wanting to go back to bed? You know, how was I feeling at different points of the day? And, they've done research on this. There's whenever people are describing feelings, they can typically name on average of about 3 feelings. And it's somewhere along the lines of sad, mad, and really mad. Those are the ones that we can identify. But there's actually more like 33 emotions that we all typically regularly feel. So if we're not able to know what those emotions are, those words, and if we're not able to define them and then apply them to ourselves, we're missing out on a whole lot of stuff going on. Because, you know, if you, to the person that only has a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Mm-hmm. So if you only know the word angry, you're never going to know, am I feeling grief? Am I feeling sadness? Am I feeling anxiety?
I'm thinking of the Pixar movie now, Inside Out. Like, have you seen it with the very specific feelings?
Yeah.
Anger.
So just getting honest about your feelings and just practicing that, naming your feelings when they're coming up. I know it sounds simple, but there's so much power to just putting words to those feelings. And that's really ends up being the first thing I recommend to people when they come to counseling. So if you're thinking about going to counseling, you're already one step ahead of the game.
Well, good. That's all you get for free because we're out of time. But you can go check out Kelsey's new counseling service, Abide Counseling. That is abidecounselingbcs.com, Abide Counseling on Facebook. You have the final word, Ms. Johnson / Rickettson.
I just want to thank you for having me here. I'm so excited to start this counseling process, practice here in Bryan College Station. I'm also doing telehealth. So my services are available to anyone in the state of Texas. And I just wish you all the best. Everyone stay safe out there and talk about your feelings.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Kelsey. And I will be right back. We are going to let John back in. Don't go anywhere. Hello, Jonathan. I feed my children off the generosity of other people. I have worked in nonprofits for the last 5 years, and Forte Catholic is now a nonprofit organization. So literally everything we do here, all the ministry, all the stuff that we're doing, and like literally supporting myself and my family all comes from support of the nonprofit Forte Catholic. It's a 501c3, so anyone can give. It is a tax-deductible donation. You can do that at fortecatholic.com/donate. If you are listening this far in the show, it means that you have liked something that we have done at least in the past. So I would appreciate your support for this new endeavor that we have going. Thanks and God bless.
Do it.
Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll. This is Jonathan Blevins returning. You haven't heard the interview yet, but what did you think of it?
I'm sure it's incredible, and I can't wait.
You can't wait for something that's already happened.
I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be great.
The miracle of podcasting.
I just think you don't like me on interviews anymore. That's what I'm starting to think.
No, here's the thing, Jonathan. Some of it has been completely random. Some of it has been you're very busy. And every time we schedule a show, it's also our scheduled time to catch up. So I want to catch up with you and also be respectful of your time, because otherwise we'd be here for 3 hours.
Thank you. That warms my soul.
Good. I'm glad you found it. So last week, we started a grand new tradition, a new segment called Chicken Soup for the Shrill. This all started because I was watching a Friends episode, and they were reading the Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And I was like, wow, we need to bring this back. And then I tweeted that, and my good friend Matt Nelson was like, this should be a segment, but it should be called Chicken Soup for the Shrill. So here it is. We started it last week. I thought I was going to have to introduce it to you, but you decided to start listening to the podcast, so we'll just get right into it. The whole thing is about sharing positive, uplifting stories to warm the heart, just like Chicken Soup for the Soul did for people for 20 years ago. For a span, they put out 80,000 books in the span of about 3 weeks.
I actually remember we had like 3 or 4 of them. They had like Chicken Soup for the Soul with teens and like with kids. It was great stuff.
Oh, I know. I've recently went and looked at the list, and boy, there were some weird ones.
Chicken Soup for the Soul for dogs.
Oh my gosh, Chicken Soup for the Soul was the first podcast. They're so niche. There's something for everyone. All right, so the mistake that I made last week is I introduced the segment, and then I was like, you know what? Just to kind of set the mood, I'll start, and I'll share my heart-uplifting story. And then I looked at the clock at the time I was done, and Father Anthony had 1 minute to tell his story. So you're going first today.
I'll go first today. You need to have this really cool, like, Chicken Soup for the Troll intro.
I know. I haven't made it yet.
Where, like, you can hear, like, soup being poured into the bowl.
I know.
And, like, the breaking of crackers.
We've been chosen. We've been fed. Please continue.
Okay. So, yeah, this is the first one that came to my mind. So, a couple of years ago, just those who don't know, I'm married. I have 3 kids, 5, 4, and 6 months old. Two boys and a girl, which is really fun. And a couple years ago, my wife and I really felt this call to do what we called hospitality nights. Basically, I was inspired after a conversation with Annie Hickman, who does something kind of similar, where you just kind of open your house and cook a meal every single week. Actually, I think Annie has people bring food, but we decided to go all out and to cook enough food for everybody. And the whole idea was, like, we want to be better at loving our neighbors, like our actual literal neighbors. Everyone, like, you ring the doorbell, you hide. Nobody likes them when the doorbell rings, but
my doorbell doesn't work, and I'm not fixing it on purpose.
Yeah, just like that. Like, you know, that's just how it is. Or, like, you know, I'll be like mowing the lawn, and like you see the neighbor come out, and you're just like, I'm just gonna keep mowing. And you know, I really do think, obviously, you can take what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor, to love everyone, sure, but also I think it's important to love our actual neighbors. And so our idea was, like, we'll open the house up every single Thursday, and it'll just be a thing where people know on Thursdays that, hey, we have nothing going on tonight. Let's go over to John and Jody's and have a meal and some fellowship. No evangelization, like, agenda, just Catholics trying to live their normal life, right? And we had, like, 50 people show up to our very first one. I had to go back to the store because I was thinking it would be a thing where, like, one family shows up, like, and another family shows up the next week and, like, just, you know, oh, it's Thursday, we can go do this. It ended up becoming this, like, giant thing where at our biggest one, I think we had like 75 or 80 people, priests, seminarians, a bishop has come before, and all, like, just being them normal selves. Like, it was a really cool thing. And then some people that I met from Twitch, and I started to learn that they, like, lived near me, were just an hour or two or three away. And it was a little risky. You know, meeting strangers can be kind of a scary thing. But I've done it a lot now on Twitter.
Yeah, they always say that if you're going to meet strangers, welcome them into your home first.
yes, with your children, you know. Yeah. Yikes. But I knew some of them, I thought, pretty well, and I talked to them offline. And so I started having some of them come over. And one guy just kind of, like, really really, really enjoyed just being around like a Catholic family. Like he hadn't really been around one. He hadn't really gone to Mass in a long time, but he felt like he was missing some spiritual stuff. And just by the nature of the hospitality nights, like I said, priests would be there and they would just be completely normal. Like I'll never forget this one time where this, my good buddy, who's like your stereotypical biker, he has tats everywhere. He shows up on his giant motorcycle, a beard bigger than ours combined. And he's just swearing up a storm. And he's right next to a seminarian, but he doesn't know he's a seminarian. And like finally, after 30 minutes of him just cussing up and down.
Incognito for Jesus.
Right. But he goes, so what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a seminarian. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, no, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And then they had a huge conversation about God. So cool stuff like that was happening all the time. But my favorite was this particular guy from the stream shows up and really felt like he was just lonely, lost, was missing something in his life. And we started talking about like sin and confession. And there was a priest there. And I was like, dude, there's a, you know, good priest friend of mine who's here. And I bet you'd hear your confession if you want to go. I think it'd be really healing for you. And he was like, wait, seriously, I can do that? And I was like, yeah. And so in my house, like I'm like cooking food. I'm looking over in the corner of the house and I just see like someone I met online from Twitch and another priest who I met kind of online through Twitch having confession. And the look on his face afterwards was just incredible. And yeah, so like, it was funny, like all this work I tried to do for the parish at the time, and God did a lot of really good things at that parish. This was probably the most fruitful thing, was just this hospitality night and having it be just natural, normal evangelization.
That's awesome. So I have questions about this confession. Yeah. Did it happen like within your home? Like, is this place like a sacramental room now?
yep. It's a sacramental room now. Okay. We sold the house. So, now a bishop lives there. Kidding.
Wait, what? Why didn't you lead with this?
No. It happened in the house over, like nobody was near. He had the stole and everything. It was beautiful.
I love that. It's like priests are superheroes because they have superpowers, like, you know, making sins disappear and turning bread into Jesus, you know, superpowers.
Yeah.
And they also have like their like hidden cape, you know, like Superman would go into the phone booth. Now, kids, phone booths were these things before everybody. So he would go into the phone booth and he would zip down his regular stuff and he was Superman, right? So the priest is just like hanging at your house, just trying to eat a hot dog or something. And then this guy's like, hey, I hadn't been to confession in years. Can I go to confession? And he whips out his secret cape, which is a stole. And we must leave now. Follow me.
My son.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. No, that's a very good story. And I'm glad I let you tell it. You're welcome.
You have time for yours now, too.
I do. I have a story that comes from Zig Ziglar. Do you know who Zig Ziglar is, Jonathan?
That's not a real thing.
He's a real human person. Well, he's not anymore. He's passed on. But he was. So
yikes.
Zig Ziglar was this guy, like kind of in the.
Wait, that was his name or nickname?
I'm sure the first name was a nickname.
Okay.
But his last name really was Ziglar. Okay. Which I always get. So for people from Houston, Marvin Zindler was our eyewitness news guy. Marvin Zindler, eyewitness news. And that joke was for just my Houston audience. And everybody's sitting at home now like, oh my gosh, I remember that guy from 25 years ago. Big part of my childhood. So now you know. You're welcome. So Zig was this guy. He was kind of in the first vein of like motivational speakers, but not like how they're sappy and fake now. Like this was years ago where it was like he used to be a Christian pastor. Like he was a youth pastor for a while and then a pastor, and then he moved into the business world, but he never like stopped his faith being a front and center thing. So he ended up being one of the biggest like business gurus in the world. He would travel the country and he had like podcasts and videos and books and all these kinds of things to help people be better leaders. And this guy was like literally he was a virtual like leadership coach and like mentor for me for years. Like I went through last night. I was like, okay, let me find some stories. And I was like, let's do one or two from Zig. Cause I was going through these things, John, and this note, I ended taking notes. He passed away a few years before this, but I've listened to everything this guy's ever said.
Wow.
You know, publicly, you know, and the note ended in 2015. I started listening to him in maybe 2009. So for like 6 years, I'm just constantly taking this guy's thoughts, and he's just a great leader. He talked about leadership business, being a better husband and father. He talked about being a better Christian. Like, he had conversations about all of these things, and I just ate it up, and I went through all of these things. Last night, I scrolled through the entire thing and just sat and thought with it. And I was like, what can I talk about on the show? And like, there were only like three or four of the like maybe 125 notes that I had taken that I had forgotten. Like, so many of them, I had, they're so much a part of who I am now that I forgot they came from Zig. Like, some of them I remember specifically hearing him talk about, but like, yeah. Others was like, it's so much who I am. That I'm like, oh, that was from Zig. Like, I heard that on a podcast or something, right? One of the stories that he shared is about Nat King Cole. You know who Nat King Cole is, right?
Yeah.
The famous musician. Okay. So yeah. Nat King Cole was just a backup guy, just playing his instrument in the back of the band. And they would go and the band would play every night at a bar or at a, you know, just some kind of social event, right? And the whole band was getting like $20 and they would split it, and the front guy and the band leader would get like, you know, $8, and the rest of the guys would split the other 12. I did the math right. Okay. So the front man didn't show up one night. So Nat did this for years, and the front man didn't show up. And the owner of the club walks up to the group and said, no front man, no play, no money. And Nat was, they were all poor and broke. And they were just like, all right. Nat was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to sing then. I guess I'm going to be the front man. So he rotated up front, and that's how we got Nat King Cole.
Incredible. That's amazing.
He would have been a backup guy his whole life. So I'm hearing this story, and I'm like, man, there's so much to being prepared and ready to step up in the moment, right? But then there's also this thing of like, this idea of like, desperation helps us to make decisions that we probably should have made a long time ago, right?
Ooh, yeah.
And like, I that's how I feel. Like, we started Forte Catholic as a nonprofit, and this is what I'm doing full time, out of a situation of desperation, like COVID happening and financial things happening, like just a lot happened where I had to make this decision. I had to move on, right? I had to move on from what I was doing. And everyone in my life was like, yeah, we thought you were going to do this years ago. I was like, what? Where were you years ago?
Yeah, well, like, why did you tell me?
Exactly. So I think sometimes desperation makes us make decisions that we probably should have made a while before, or at least thought, like seriously thought about, right? So, you know, if you're in desperation and everything's falling apart and you're like, you know, kind of going everywhere, probably not the best place to make a decision, but it is a good time to think about those decisions and to talk to your trusted advisors and be like, hey, is this a decision that I should be making right now?
I love it. Am I a trusted advisor?
You are a trusted advisor.
What a blessing. What a blessing. No, that's incredible. That's beautiful, dude.
Yeah. So if you want to be Nat King Cole, and desperate times arise, do what you need to do. You're prepared for this. Take that next step. So that is our chicken soup for the troll today. I've got another Zig story that we'll share here in the coming weeks. But thank you all for the very kind words that you said about last week's chicken soup for the troll segment. We're going to continue it because I'm a man of the people, and the people want it, and the people love it. Jonathan, thank you for today. Thanks for hanging out with me, buddy.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, guys. I will be back next week. Say it.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.